Hey everybody, welcome back to Get Snuff. Drew and Madison right here, and today we are going to be taking a little bit of a break from celebrating 20 years of Survivor, and we are going to be going into a discussion on the best Survivor seasons for beginners. So this is going to be pretty different from what we've been doing. It's not an organized list, it's just these are the seasons we feel are good for beginners, and we're going to go right over that. Anything you got to say, Madison?
I think this list is especially important with the future of TV being so uncertain. You have never had more time to start watching Survivor and get your friends to start watching Survivor. And we're here to help.
Yes. And I'll also be going over which seasons are on Amazon Prime. Obviously, they're all on CBS All Access, but I don't expect everyone to have that. I do expect more people to potentially have Amazon Prime, though, and I feel that'd be a good way for people to pin down seasons that they could personally watch, and that way they might have an entryway. I think four of our seasons are currently on Amazon Prime, and all of them are, of course, on CBS All Access. You could buy DVD recordings for all of these. Don't expect y'all to do that.
And I believe that all except for one of the seasons we're discussing are on Hulu. I believe Hulu has seasons 1 through 34, but Hulu has a weird issue where, like, two episodes of every season are just like missing from the platform, so you can watch like most of the season, but we'll have just a couple small holes.
Yes, for that reason I would not necessarily recommend Hulu as a format to start watching your Survivor experience on. And also I think that while this is definitely going to be catered a lot towards beginning watchers, this will also be a good way for people who have watched Survivor for a long time to maybe think about recommending these seasons to people, even if it's not their favorite. We're not going to be going over a lot of favorites. I mean, a little spoiler for what we're going to talk about. Heroes versus Villains isn't on here, and that's a lot of people's favorite season. However, we don't have it as a best beginner season, but these are good seasons that you could recommend as a Survivor veteran if you're trying to get your friends into the show.
For sure, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Take a drink to 100%. All right, so we're going to get into the trivia question for the day before we get to tackle the best Survivor seasons for beginners. And the question for today, Madison, is which Survivor contestant has the most intended votes against them in a single season? So this counts votes that have been canceled by idols. Intended votes against them in a single season.
I mean, my first thought went to Kelly Wentworth, because I know she was the target a lot, and she had a lot of votes nullified against her.
Are you talking about in Second Chance?
Yes, in Second Chance.
Yes.
This is in one single season, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Trying to think, because it's probably not... Because it wouldn't be Karishma... It could be Karishma, theoretically, because she had, I think she had the most votes cast against her just, like, generally in a season, if I'm not mistaken. She did play an idol once, so that could put her over the edge. I'm not sure. I don't want to think too hard about it. I'm going to go with Kelly Wentworth as my guess, but I'm not super confident about it.
Your other choice was the right answer.
Oh, my God! Hey, at least my thought process was there. I just... Math.
Mm-hmm. Karishma had 22 intended votes against her in a single season. 15 of them counted. If you're talking in terms of votes that have counted in a single season, Laura Moret is the record holder with 19. Okay. Kelly Wentworth in Cambodia is tied for fifth with 17 votes against her, tied with Philip Shepherd and Ozzy. And the only people that are above Kelly Wentworth besides Karishma and Laura Moret are Jen Brown in Worlds Apart and Christian in David vs. Goliath.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All those people make sense. It's just a matter of figuring it out from, like, screen, like, the edit of the person. You can tell a lot about, like, Christian you don't think of as much because you don't think of him as always being the target. That's not my first impression of Christian. He was, but I don't think of him that way. Whereas Karishma and Kelly Wentworth, I think very much more of they were constantly the target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had the right thought process behind it for sure, and just 50-50, you went with the wrong one.
I know. I close enough for me. I'll take it.
All right, so now we're going to get into talking about the seasons for beginners. One thing I also forgot to say in the intro is that we're going to keep these spoiler-free for anyone who is trying to find a Survivor season to watch, because we don't want to say to any beginner watching this, like, hey, so you want to get into Survivor? Here's what this season is completely about. Here's who wins, all that. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to jip you like that. We're going to recommend these seasons and try and remain spoiler-free as much as possible. If not, I have the magic of editing, so I can make sure I can cut out if we say anything stupid. So, anyway, we're going to go chronologically in terms of the seasons that we are going to talk about today. So, it's going to kind of have a progression from old school to new school Survivor that way. And there are seven seasons we're talking about today, and the first one that Madison and I put on our list is Survivor Amazon. Why do you think it's a good season for beginners?
Well, I'm going to start out by saying I haven't finished watching Amazon. I'm currently watching Amazon. I've been watching it over the past, like, two-ish days, maybe three, and I've made it just about to the merge. I'm about 10 minutes from hitting the merge of the season. So I have a pretty good understanding for the characters, and I know a lot of the plot points of the post-merge, so I feel like I have a good enough understanding to recommend it for new viewers. I like Amazon a lot because it's an old school season, so you do really get to know those characters, and they all are so distinct and so interesting, and it's a lot about the culture and the location, but it's also, it translates a little bit more to modern Survivor, even more than, say, my favorite old school season, Africa. Africa can be kind of slow for a new viewer, but Amazon feels fast-paced enough. There's enough interesting strategies going on that it isn't too much of a leap from the Survivor we know now.
I agree with that. Amazon, I don't think, is the best season for all beginners, considering that now we're in 2020, dating the podcast. But the thing about Amazon is that it's kind of the way with all old school seasons, but there is a lot more sexism going around in these seasons, and this is definitely the case in Survivor Amazon. So it's not going to be the best unless you're able to kind of understand the time period, or if you're gonna not get offended by it, then it's good for you. However, there are some pretty sexist remarks that happened throughout the season, but it's, again, the time period that it was in. You're gonna get that with old school Survivor a lot. It's just accelerated because the theme of this season, this isn't really a spoiler, but it's important to know that it is a battle of the sexes. It's men versus women. So the people throughout the season will end up saying, or like the men will talk about how they find all the women really attractive, for example, and then that can kind of be taken the wrong way. So Amazon, I wouldn't say is for everyone, but I do think it is the best old school season. As you said, it's got a real good new school feel to it, and you've got some players in there who are very advanced in terms of how they're going to be strategic with the game. And it's a really good time because of that. So you're not necessarily getting this old school feel where a lot of times in old school seasons, it's all because of tribal lines. That's all that really matters. This season, it's not as much the case. There's a lot more strategy going back and forth, and people are getting out the biggest threats rather than someone who was starting out on the tribe that was against them. So the tribal lines aren't there, and it feels a lot more advanced in that way.
Yeah, I think Amazon is a fantastic season if you want to start more with the new school, not new school, old school seasons, and move forward towards current day Survivor, but not start just from the beginning and watch all the way through. If you want something that's going to maybe engage you a little bit more than Borneo does now, because Borneo is a little bit of a slog nowadays. It's really, if you are a Survivor historian, that's when I would or just a reality TV historian, you're really interested in the origins of this show, that's when you want to watch Borneo. Or if you're nostalgic, obviously, but none of these people are nostalgic. They don't really know Survivor. So that's not a good reason to watch Borneo, and that's not a good reason for us to recommend it. I think also to touch on the sexism, this goes with a lot of the seasons that are dated before 2010, just generally, that there's going to be comments that you don't agree with a lot of the time. There's even some seasons nowadays that are a little problematic because it's reality TV and you can't control what everyone's saying. But I also think you have to remember this is, what, 2003, 2004 when this season aired?
I think it was 03, but it might have been 2002, actually. It's really early on.
I don't think it was 02 because it's season 6. So
yeah, I think it's the first season in 03, but it could be 02. It was probably filmed in 2002.
Yes, probably. But it's like 03 is a men versus women season. Of course they're going to be saying sexist stuff about the men and the women. They're saying sexist. It's mostly about the women, but there's also some like stereotypical things being said about the men. That's the theme of the season. Mm-hmm. That's, of course, what's going to be the storyline. So you just have to put yourself back in 2003. If you don't remember 2003, look up some news stories from 2000, or like tabloid stories from 2003, and you'll understand what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's just keeping those things in mind, just like Once on This Island always says, think about it from the perspective of when the show aired, not from what we know now.
Yes.
But Amazon has some really interesting characters, even characters that people don't necessarily talk about or think about a whole ton today. They're very entertaining. Personally, I find Matthew very fascinating. He's just really interesting. I don't know what it is about him. I like the way he moves through the game and his thought process, and he's very good at explaining his thought process. More so than even Rob or any of the other people from this season. Rob is probably the most talked about person from this season, especially for his confessionals. But Matthew is a very good confessionalist, which is why I've been drawn to him. A lot of the women are very interesting. In fact, I find all the women very interesting. This is the first disabled person on Survivor in Christy, which... they did Christy dirty. I find a lot of the ways that she was treated were really unfair. I almost find that this season is harder to watch from like an ableist perspective than a gender perspective. I feel like it's a little bit, it dates itself even more there than with the comments on gender. But overall, the storylines, I also think, since this is the first season of Survivor that really, really had a theme, the storyline is so cohesive through the whole thing that you're really going to be able to have a picture of the whole season and a coherent storyline, which you can't say of, say, like Thailand. Telling you kind of the point of Thailand, kind of hard.
Yes. That is one great thing about this season. If you really want a season where they're playing into the theme, very hard. And the thematics of the season are very clear and really easy to understand, but also be integrated with, then Amazon might be the best season in that regards. I don't think about many other seasons where they really play into the themes, except for like Worlds Apart. But Amazon, they really play into it. This Battle of the Sexes is very apparent, and you hear the players talking about it all the time. Sometimes it crosses the line in terms of today's standards. However, it is really enjoyable to watch, and if you can put it into context, you're really going to enjoy this season as a beginning viewer, and it's going to be a good place to put your foot into the door, especially if you want to start with a more old-school season.
Yeah, because I agree with all your points. It's the best old-school season for newbies, I think, hands down.
Mm-hmm. And we're not necessarily saying the best season. If we're talking old school seasons, like Amazon's up there for me, but it wouldn't be my personal favorite. That's something, like some of these seasons we hold in really high regard. I don't think either of us hold Amazon in the highest regard. We like the season a lot, but it's not one of our all-time favorite seasons, for example. But at the same time, we think this is a very good place to put your foot in the door. It doesn't feel crazy, chaotic, unusual. It feels pretty easy to follow the whole time. And Amazon's a good place to put your foot into the door, for sure, in terms of that.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on to our next season. We're kind of jumping into a new era of Survivor. Amazon's the one old school season that we would really recommend. And that, in terms of a beginner watching, and that's why we really wanted to make sure we put it on the list. However, a lot of the better seasons, in my opinion, to watch are the newer seasons. If you really want to have a more authentic experience, you go back and watch Amazon. But we're going to be moving on to Survivor China, which is still bordering on old school, but I wouldn't consider it an old school season. And Survivor China, it's a really unique location, which is just about the only thing that feels weird about it. There's a couple of interesting loopholes thrown in China here and there, but this is the one where they actually play into the location better than any season, I believe. And the reason why I would recommend Survivor China for a beginner is, this is my personal opinion in terms of Survivor casting, but in terms of non-all-star casts, I believe Survivor China is the absolute best cast that Survivor's ever put together. I don't think any of these characters are boring at all, and they all have good moments throughout the season, even if they're the first voted out, or any player really voted out early. They all have entertaining moments. You're wrapped up into everyone. You can relate to anyone on this season in any different way. And while it's one of the most well-rounded casts, there's also those people that rise above and really stick out in terms of Survivor history, in terms of all these great players that people will reference throughout their time watching Survivor, if you've watched it a lot more. So you're really going to be familiar with some of the Survivor greats this way. Back in Amazon, you might have only had one. Here in China, you have 3 to 4 Survivor greats, Survivor legends out here. And it's so fun to watch. And similar to Amazon, sure, you see relationships throughout the season, but the vote outs are not necessarily based on relationships or based on the way that previous Survivor players had played. You can tell in Survivor China that these players are out here taking risks, and they're doing stuff that's unorthodox, and they're doing stuff that's fun. And I think China's great in that regard, and there's not really any crazy twist that a newbie would look at and say, hey, what's going on here? I don't get what's going on here. Everything's pretty easy to understand. And then once you get a grasp for it, it just gets better and better as the season goes on. A lot of fun characters to watch. Really good time in general.
Yeah, I am with you 100%. I don't know if I would say that China has the best cast of any season. It would definitely be top 5. I think it's really hard to judge, the first 7/8 seasons against the rest of Survivor when it comes to cast, because the casting seems so different, and they weren't necessarily looking for big characters. They were looking for real people who would be willing to do the show, which was a little bit of a different casting pool. And then it's hard to judge, like, modern seasons casts compared to something that aired as far back as China, because back in China, even if you had a not great cast in that era, you still pretty much got to know everyone. And then nowadays in Survivor, even if you have someone really great, if they go pre-merge, you might just not get any of them. Or someone might get purpled for no good reason, or we're not hearing from their perspective. Things aren't as evenly distributed when it comes to, like, airtime.
By the way, I just want to interject for any beginner in there. When Madison says get purpled, that's Survivor slang for not receiving a good edit, not receiving a lot of screen time. However, in Survivor China, that's not an issue. That's what she means.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's not an issue. And it wasn't really an issue in that era of Survivor either. So that's why I find it really difficult to compare casts between eras. But in that era, it definitely has the strongest cast. And I would still say it's, like, easily a top 5 strongest cast in the series, which is still high regards. There's only 40 seasons, and a lot of those seasons are returnees, which, once again, like, they're hard to judge against all newbie seasons, because you know what you're getting with the returnees. It's easier to cast those seasons, which is what makes Game Changers such a flop.
We'll get into Game Changers rants at a later podcast.
We will. I just love to throw it under the bus. But China, I think what we enjoy a lot for seasons for new viewers is seasons where the structure of the game hasn't been changed too much, but the players are still pushing the strategy forwards. So instead of production trying to push the game forwards, it's mostly at the hands of the players. And that's what makes a really interesting season, when it's more about what the players are doing than what production is doing. And I think all of our seasons have that in common on this list. China is certainly one of them. I don't remember the tribe names on China as I don't on most seasons.
Do you need a little reminder there?
Sure.
Okay, so the red tribe with like Amanda is Fei Long, and the yellow tribe with people like PG is Zhan Hu.
Got it.
Yeah.
So Fei Long is one of the best tribes ever assembled by Survivor. It's amazing. It's insane. Every single person on that tribe is kind of, none of them are very normal except for like Amanda. Like Amanda seems very normal. Denise seems normal, but in a different way. But pretty much everyone else on that tribe is kind of weird. And
Aaron's kind of normal too.
Aaron is the most forgettable person on that tribe.
That's true.
And Aaron's still very,
he's like, still fun.
I won't say very entertaining, but he's still like, you get to know him. He's not boring. He's just the most forgettable person on that tribe. The other tribe is definitely more forgettable, but there's still definitely some standout people and some standout plot points from there. The first boot of this season is amazing. Every single has something to offer. Every single person of this cast does have something to offer.
Yes.
And that's fantastic. This is also, Amazon did not have hidden immunity idols. China does. The way they hid individual immunity idols was very interesting in this season. This was kind of in that middle era where they were kind of experimenting with idols and how they should be hidden, what they're going to look like, all of the different ways you're going to find them. This was kind of the era where that was common in Survivor. And the location is very interesting as well. As Drew was saying, we get a little bit of culture, but the whole season is also tied into like the art of war and the military tactics of China and kind of Eastern civilizations. It's really kind of focusing on that perspective, which is very interesting as well.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And it's good that you talked about immunity idols, because this was one of the first seasons where immunity idols were in play, but it was also one of the first seasons where the basic form of the immunity idol that you would see nowadays was very influential. It's very easy to see when you watch throughout the season that it is a huge relic in this game, and it is so impactful. In other seasons, I mean, it kind of was, but this is also one of the first variants of what's the modern immunity idol in terms of what you would find nowadays, too. So that's very helpful if you're going to watch this season, then watch one of the newer seasons nowadays, because you get a grasp and an understanding for a very important game mechanic nowadays. Mind you, it is more accelerated nowadays in terms of how advanced the usage is, but this is where that really starts, and you're going to be able to watch this season and watch a modern season and understand how it works. And that's what makes China so good. It does feel like a season that can relate to modern Survivor in some ways, but it's also so character-driven, and you have one of the best casts in all of Survivor. So if you want a really strong, character-driven cast where the only thing that's kind of abnormal about the season is really just the location. You're not going to see a location like this in all of Survivor, and that's the unique thing. everything else feels very normal, and it's very fun to watch all these characters throughout the season. And that's why I would recommend Survivor China as a beginner season.
I also want to point out that this season is one of the first couple of seasons with a final three, and it still to this day has one of the strongest final threes that Survivor has ever seen.
Yes.
It's a really impressive group of people, and all of them you can root for, and all of them you could have made an argument to win the game. And mm-hmm. that's what's so cool about that. You never see that. That's very uncommon, especially with the change in the final jury aspect of the game. That's made it a little bit harder for the voting to be a little bit more even. But that's how it was this season. And it was very much a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm. It starts strong and it ends strong, but it really doesn't feel like it slows down that much throughout the season. There might be a couple votes where you're kind of saying, oh, I might be able to predict this, but it doesn't slow down. It never slows down. That's what makes China such a fun time, too. Personally, it's one of my all-time favorite seasons. I'll let you guys know that.
Yeah, but it also doesn't feel too fast. It's always mm-hmm. entertaining. There's always something going on, but you're not going to feel overwhelmed. You're not going to feel confused. It's still very easy to follow, which is nice, and a change from modern Survivor. That's why you get all the benefits of kind of the fast gameplay of modern Survivor and the basic game mechanics that are essential in modern Survivor, like the idol, which didn't exist in Amazon. But you also get all the more old school charm of like really getting to know all the characters and exploring the location and all of these different aspects that don't really exist in the game anymore.
More camp
and
life.
That's the best. Exactly. And that's the thing about China that's so great, is it's a good blend of both of those things.
Yes, definitely agree. So we're going to move on to the next season. I know this is a very popular pick for a lot of people, largely due to YouTuber Peridium, because he ended up saying this was his best season for beginners. I wouldn't say it's mine per se. I don't know what my best is. That's a big part of why this isn't narrowed down to a list of order, because I think all these seasons are good for beginners. But Survivor Tokenshins is the one, and Tokenshins, it's a season where I feel that the cast can be a little top heavy, but while it is a little top heavy, you're going to be able to latch onto those characters and absolutely fall in love with them. You're going to see some good gameplay, you're going to see some good underdog stories throughout the season. And all in all, I think Tokenshins hits a lot of things right throughout the season while not feeling like an abnormal season. The only real twist on this season is Exile Island, and that's a very easy twist to understand. Mm-hmm. And it's in a lot of other seasons too, so it doesn't feel like an outlier in terms of Survivor in that way. And if you want to talk about unique locations, they've visited Brazil one time before in the Amazon. But this is the Brazilian highlands, so it's this desert area. It feels really unique when compared to a lot of other locations as well.
Yeah, and I think also important to mention, this is the first season that we've talked about that's in HD and is in a rectangular aspect ratio. So if watching older shows that don't have the modern aspect ratio and aren't as high quality bothers you, Tokenshins would really be the first season on this list that is one that you would be fine watching. It's one of the first seasons in HD. I love Tokenshins. I think that the cast is so charming. They're quirky, but they're also, a lot of these people are just normal people who are good storytellers and have some interesting perspective, and especially when it comes to the game. That's the other thing, is this cast does feel like they're playing hard, but they're not playing too complicated. Their gameplay is very easy to understand, but you can tell that they all want it really hard. And they really are trying to win until a certain point. There's a certain point where you can hear them not give up, but they're kind of like, well, we'll see. I'd be okay with someone else winning. And they say that on screen, which might turn some people off. But I have also had a friend watch Token Sheens and love it, and continue watching some Survivor after that fact. That's why I personally recommend Token Sheens, because I've had it work for another friend. I think it's a really good season, for similar reasons to China, where it has a very, it has a not as strong of a cast, but it has a lot of characters that you're going to root for very different reasons. And it has a lot of that camp life. It doesn't have too many of those twists. And the narrative is fairly simple and straightforward to follow, but it is blending some of those more old school things with the new school idols and a little bit more fast-paced gameplay and a little bit more chaos than there was in older school Survivor.
I also want to mention, you mentioned how this is in HD. I kind of forgot about mentioning that Survivor China is on Amazon Prime and Token Sheens is as well. And I believe they're both on Hulu because they're in 1 through 34. But really quick, I do want to mention the season numbers as well, just so people are able to tie it to a season number. That's my mistake for not mentioning it earlier. Amazon season 6, China season 15, Token Sheens is season 18. So if you're looking for them based off numbers, that's a good way to do it. And another thing about Token Sheens is a lot of people will put people into classes. There's two major classes of characters in Survivor, and it's heroes and villains. And this is something that has come up a lot since season 20, which was heroes versus villains, but it's a big talking point for a lot of people. And Token Sheens has very good heroes and very good villains throughout the season. If you want to talk about heroes and villains, this is one where you're very clearly going to be able to make the distinction. I'm not going to end up saying who is a hero and who's a villain, but you're going to be able to make the distinction between the two and understand this element of Survivor that a lot of people will talk about and pin the label of hero or villain on various people throughout Survivor. And the other thing about Token Sheens is I think it's a season that's a lot more lighthearted than a lot of other seasons. It doesn't feel that serious. You're able to have a lot of fun with it as long as you aren't taking certain things seriously. If you're going to take things seriously, you're going to call a lot of people dumbasses or awful people. But if you don't take it seriously and you just take a lot of things as a joke, it's a very good comedic time as well throughout the season. There's a lot of good comedy that comes throughout the season if you are a lighthearted person in that way. And that's what I think has a little bit of charm in Token Sheens, that it's not all about gameplay. There's a lot more comedic elements and there's a lot more fun to be had in terms of that. Because a lot of Survivor seasons don't feel as lighthearted in terms of comedy. And this is a season where you really are able to get that.
Yeah, this is a cast that, for the most part, feels like they really do love each other. And you see that in their gameplay. Like I said, for the most part, there's definitely one to two people that they don't like. And they make it very clear. But for the most part, everyone gets along. It gives me a lot of more modern seasons have that feel as well, where even if people aren't voting together or aren't aligned, you can tell that they all like care about each other, which isn't as much the case in a lot of older school seasons, especially pre-2010 seasons, pre-heroes versus villain seasons. The casts didn't seem like the very early seasons, they were bonded by the fact that they'd gone through this shared experience together. But then the more, I won't say older school, I'll say that middle school, it seems like the cast don't get along as well as they do now. But Token Sheens is very much an exception to that.
All right, so we're back on take three right here. We tried to get another take after it cut out, and my internet shut out, and that's why we need to re-record. And then after we got another take, after about 10 seconds, guess what happened? My internet shut off again out of nowhere, and it is very annoying. However, Madsen, please sum up your point on the humanities behind Survivor Token Sheens.
Basic point was, I just think that the cast of Token Sheens, with one to two exceptions, all really liked each other. They all really got along. They were like a dysfunctional family where they knew that each other had flaws and were annoyed by each other's flaws, but loved each other regardless. And that's more than you can say for a lot of different casts. And that's what I enjoy so much about Token Cheese.
Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of human elements in there in terms of just how it feels. It feels like these people are real people, even if some of them are very interesting characters. It does feel like they're real people and they have genuine emotions, and it doesn't feel like a cast that they were getting a bunch of actors or models into a season. It felt like a cast where everybody was real people, and that was something I enjoyed about Token Cheese. And I think it's very good for beginners to see how the human element of Survivor is, because people's emotions will always interfere with the game, and this is a good example of it.
Yeah, totally. I am right there with you. Token Cheese, I also just wanted to say, has some of the most iconic characters.
Absolutely.
From Survivor history. But I think each of us had two players from Token Cheese on our top 20 greatest Survivor characters list. There's a lot of other people that are close to making the list or are very entertaining and very highly regarded by the Survivor community, even if they wouldn't be considered kind of like the greatest characters, because there's a lot of them. Like some of these people who have been on this cast that have only played one time, they probably wouldn't be on a top 20 or a top 100 list even. They might be on a top 100, but definitely not a top 20, but they're still fantastic characters, especially for one-time players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a couple of names that come to mind, especially when you say that. So these characters are good, and I see Token Cheese kind of like a mix of a lot of the seasons we're going to talk about. The only thing I think is a bit of a retracting point, if you want to look at seasons for beginners, is that idol play wasn't the most relevant thing here by any means. And a lot of it's a lot more based on relationships and people trying to get out threats. But idols are not a big part of Token Cheese at all, which is another retracting thing for Amazon, mind you. But Token Cheese here, they have idols. It's just they really don't play a factor throughout the season at all. So if you really want to understand the impact that a hidden immunity idol can have, I wouldn't recommend Token Cheese, but for about everything else, I would recommend Survivor Token Cheese as a good beginner season, because it's very well-rounded in terms of how it is in comparison to a lot of the other seasons we're going to talk about throughout this. And no crazy twists, none of that. It's very easy to get into as a casual viewer that is watching Survivor for the first time.
Couldn't agree more. Let's move on.
Yes. All right. So the next season we're going to talk about, and this is our only season that has any returning players from a previous season, but this season it feels a lot more hampered down. It doesn't feel like these people have such a legacy or so amazing as players where you're looking at them and you're kind of thinking, oh, they're going to be amazing in this game again, or, oh, they're going to be a great casting choice. They feel very well integrated with other people in the season. And this is Survivor Philippines. And Philippines is really an interesting season because a common thing you're going to see a lot more, and especially a lot more recent of Survivor seasons, is the three-tribe structure at the beginning of a season. And this was one of the seasons that first pulled it off to good success. And Philippines, it's another season where it feels very beginner-friendly in terms of it doesn't feel like there's crazy twists. It doesn't feel like anything insane's going on where you're not able to keep track of it. You're very easily able to keep track of relationships that go on through the season. You've got a good sample of heroes, not very many villains. And season 25, another HD season. Everything Token Cheese's on will be in HD. Hopefully you guys were able to guess that, because I don't think anybody has ever thought as a TV production company, hey, we had that in HD, we need to cut that out. It's for the authentic feel. We need it more authentic. No, I don't think anybody's ever thought that. But then Philippines, it also has a lot of characters that are very well known throughout the Survivor legend, basically. There's some Survivor legends that come out of this season, for sure. And you're going to very easily get wrapped up in some of these characters. You're going to love some of them. You're going to hate some of them. And that's what makes for a good Survivor season. So Philippines, it's very well-rounded in that way. And I definitely would recommend it as a starting season.
Yeah, I love Survivor Philippines, which is season 25 as well. Yes. And I think,
on Amazon Prime, by the way.
Yes. And I think the reason why the returning players don't really seem like returning players in this season is, A, they were all medevaced in their previous season. So they weren't voted out. They didn't really have a normal ending to their Survivor journey. And two, well, I have 3 points, actually. But one of them you kind of touched on. The second point is none of them had made the merge the last time they played. So they didn't really have a lot of that experience, which makes you, being a pre-merge player and being a post-merge player are very different. You have to play very different games. So the fact that one of the players had made the merge before, but two out of the three hadn't, that they hadn't had that experience, it really did put them at mostly a level playing field with the other contestants. And three, they weren't really Survivor icons. One of the returning players, it would be considered an icon, but it was because of his medevac. He was the first medevac in Survivor history, and it was a very big moment in that season. So, and in the history of the show. So that's why he's iconic, not really because of who he is as a person. Mm-hmm. So that's why it feels like an even playing field, and where you also, they show you, or at least explain to you, the medevacs of those people's seasons, and that's really all you need to know about them moving forward. You don't really need to know a deep amount about their character to really enjoy them as characters in this season. They're all very fully formed for new people in Survivor Philippines. So that's not too big of a worry. As you said, this season creates a lot of icons as well, who are very well regarded by viewers of the show. And it's another season. Really, the biggest twist of this season is that it's a captain season with three tribes. Yep. It's the first time they'd done three tribes since All-Stars. And it was the first time they'd ever done three captains. They'd done two on a couple of the previous seasons. But once again, we've kind of discussed why these captains didn't really feel like captains. You get some messy tribal dynamics in this season, which is very fun. We didn't talk about that as much, but you do have a lot of that in Token Chains as well. That's what you need, is a little bit of a messy tribal dynamic to really create some entertainment and some more interest later in the game. If you have boring tribe dynamics, you're probably going to have a boring season. Mm-hmm. And that, but the tribe dynamics are also very clear. You understand them pretty easily, but they're messy. And they are very fun to watch. And that's the excellency of this season. And I love most of my time watching Philippines. There might be one episode that kind of lulls. It's early in the season. It's definitely before the merge, but the rest of the episodes really feel like they move. And the whole season ends in a very satisfying way, in my opinion.
Philippines does have a very unusual arc, especially at the beginning of the game. And that arc, while it may be unique, especially in comparison to other seasons, it's not one that ends up ruining the season, which is really something that makes it a very unique arc in that way, where it's not a negative thing, but it's actually a very positive thing. There's some Survivor seasons where it is a very negative thing in terms of the flow of the season. However, this one, it didn't really feel like it hampered the flow of the season when the arc, it comes right in at the beginning of the game. You're very easily going to be able to catch on to it if you go through a few episodes. However, another thing that I think about Survivor Philippines is it's a season where you've actually got some names that you might know from outside of Survivor. And they're Jeff Kent and Lisa Welchel. Lisa Welchel was a child actress back in the day. And Jeff Kent was a pro baseball player who was very successful. So for baseball fans, you might come in and say, hey, I like Jeff Kent. For anyone who watched a lot of older TV, you might say, hey, I know who Lisa Welchel is. And that might be a name that you can latch on to immediately, and you can track their stories. And it might be someone you know from outside of Survivor that can help you transition, where you're seeing, hey, this is someone that I grew up knowing about. And now I get to see them play a game of Survivor, which is just interesting because you never really thought that you'd see them do anything besides what they were known for professionally in entertainment or sports. So it's just another outside thing that people could latch on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, to be honest, mostly because I'm just not familiar with those two people outside of Survivor. I also would make the argument that one of the returnees, if you were alive back in the beginning of Survivor and you were kind of tuned into like TV and cultural news, you also probably know of one of the captains. Yeah. I'm also not really saying his name just because he's also a very problematic person, and I try not to say his name if I don't have to. You don't know that in the seasons. You don't need to worry about that affecting how you watch it, which is why I also don't want to discuss it too much and draw attention to it. But you might.
But it doesn't
know
ruin
that
the season.
Well.
That's the
it
good.
It doesn't
thing.
Ruin the season. Yeah, it doesn't ruin the season at all. You wouldn't know it by watching the season. I'd encourage you to look it up after you watch the season if you do, just so that you can know about it, but maybe not until afterwards, so it doesn't really ruin the season for you. Because if you're someone who's like really specific about these types of things, it might ruin the watching experience for you, but don't let it. You mm-hmm. doesn't need to.
Another thing, we've talked about immunity idols in China and Token Chains because they're seasons that they've existed in. And it's very important to know the impact of an immunity idol. Philippines, it's okay in terms of idol usage. It's nothing extraordinary to where you're going to see the real impact of an immunity idol. That's still, in terms of the seasons we've talked about so far, Survivor China is where you're going to see that the most. However, Philippines, I do think, has some of the most fun hidden idols in the entire game of Survivor. So the idol hunts are a lot more fun, actually. And they're pretty fun in China, too, but I actually think they're more fun in Philippines.
I agree. I think that, I know we're both thinking of the same scene, but that one idol hunting scene on Matt Singh, it's one of the best idol hunt scenes of all time, just because it's also very self-referential. It's very on the nose. It's kind of a meta scene because the player is talking about how he thinks he's going to be perceived, and then all of those things are coming true. It's such a well-crafted scene. And that's another thing that can be talked about a little bit, is this season did have a little bit more fun on the production side too, especially compared to the seasons around that season. They didn't necessarily take risks, but they had a little bit of fun and just worked with what they had and did something interesting with it. And that's what's really going to get you hooked on the season, is those interesting choices and the interesting people and the interesting way that the story is being told.
It is also one of the more unique editing seasons in Survivor, and it's gotten more unique over time, and there's been new editing tactics, but this one was pretty unique, especially for the time that it was in. So I definitely recommend Philippines. It's got a lot of unique traits to it. So I think if you're talking beginner seasons, you want a beginner season that feels a bit more unique in comparison to other seasons. And you have a couple of icons to latch on to if you know those names from outside of Survivor. Then this is the season for you. You're going to be attached to it immediately.
Yeah. I also think it's important to note that, especially because a lot of people might have just been getting back into Survivor this season with Winners at War, I just wanted to note the winner of this season was on Winners at War, so if you wanted to watch a season with at least one character that you were familiar with, Philippines is a good season for that, mm-hmm. especially since the last three we discussed, the winners were not on Winners at War. So if that's also something that you're looking for, to be able to see the journey of someone who you just watched, this would be a good season.
But even if you haven't watched Winners at War, and I'm assuming a lot of people who are beginners have not even watched Winners at War, then this is a good season to watch. But then if you want to get to that big hype season that just happened, you at least know one character if you're going to watch Winners at War later on, and that if that's your plan.
Yeah. So it goes both ways. But I did feel like that was an important thing to point out, because I do know a lot of people are in that situation right now where they're just getting back into the fold now, especially with the whole weird TV landscape and COVID-19. A lot more people watched Survivor than have in a while. And maybe they're looking for that little tie-in connection.
Yes. All right, we're going to move on to the next season. And the next season we have pinned down is season 28, also on Amazon Prime. And I think this is the last season we have that'll be on Amazon Prime, but there is one more season that is on Hulu. However, Hulu has a bit of a flaw. Again, all these are on CBS All Access, but season 28 is Survivor Kagyan. And this one, it has another three-tribe structure. And this is, I mean, Philippines is one that really made it a popular thing to end up have happening on Survivor. But Kagyan's another one of those three-tribe structures. And it's split into an interesting theme of brains, brawn, and beauty. So they're split up into tribes based on these traits. And Survivor Kagyan, it's got a soft spot in my heart because it was a season that got me back into Survivor after I was really not into watching the show. And when I watched Survivor Kagyan after taking a bit of a break from watching the show, after some seasons I thought were pretty awful, Philippines is not one of them, even though it's right before it. I do want to make that clear. It got me back into the show, and it made me realize how good Survivor can get. So I know it's one of those seasons that was a recovery season for me. It was a recovery season for a lot of other people, too. However, it would be a good season for beginners to watch, too, because you have some of the best characters in Survivor history, yet again. Some of the best casting in Survivor history in general. I don't think it's as well-rounded as China, but there are some Survivor legends in here. It's just got a couple more duds than a season like China would. And Survivor Kagyan, it is an advancement in gameplay as well. You're going to see some clear heroes. You're going to see some clear villains throughout the season. But when it comes to Survivor Kagyan, I think that it's probably, in my opinion, the best season out of all of the Survivor seasons that we're going to talk about today. But that's not everyone's opinion, again. But it's often regarded as one of the best seasons. And it's one of the best seasons in the later half of the game, too. So if you like a season that builds up a little bit more, then Kagyan might be the one to go for, even though it still starts off great, which is what makes it so enjoyable. And you've got a fun theme to follow. Not as unorthodox of a progression as Philippines was, but there is a bit of an unorthodox progression at the beginning of the game. You got rootable characters. And overall, Kagyan is such a fun time. And it also has comedic moments. It's so good. I mean, we got
I'm sorry, I don't
this.
Lama. I'm supposed to talk Lama to you.
I will not tell you where in the season that comes in, but that is part of that season. So, just so you know.
Yeah. Kagyan is a fantastic season. I think the only downside to Kagyan is that it's very chaotic. I think that if you had to choose one word to describe Kagyan, it's chaos or chaotic, something along those lines. That is really the feeling you get from the season. But it is so entertaining from start to finish. I think, personally, there is only one character on that season that is a dud. Everyone else has something interesting to say. They might not have always gotten the best edit, but that's because there were so many great characters to choose from, and they had to choose the better person. But all the pre-merge characters are very entertaining. All the post-merge characters are very entertaining. Of course, with the one exception that I've talked about for the whole cast, the one person. And even then, they're not bad. They're not someone I dislike. They're just someone who's, like, a little boring. But 17 out of 18 people, that's plenty. If I can forget about one person, I'm okay with that. But I think the thing that's so great about Kagyan is that you will never be bored watching it. The gameplay does not go in the direction you think it's going to go. I do agree with you that I do think it's very similar, at least pre-merge, to Philippines. It gives off similar vibes. It doesn't have quite... it
with more chaos. Again,
it's Philippines with more chaos.
Yes.
That's what the pre-merge of this season is. And then the post-merge of this season is just chaos. You can't compare it to any other season, except for, honestly, its precursor. Obviously, there's seasons closer to it that are a precursor, but Amazon is almost a precursor with the post-merge, because it's very back and forth, mm-hmm. Because of those complex tribal dynamics. And that is, once again, the key to a great newbie season, is having interesting, complex tribal dynamics that then, once you transition into the individual portion of the game, are going to lead to unpredictable gameplay. And that's definitely what you get from Kaguyan, is unpredictable gameplay that still makes more or less logical sense. And you can follow if you're paying attention. It's definitely not a season you can watch passively. You do have to sit down and watch it and pay attention. But it's not going to feel like work to do that. You will be entertained throughout the entire time. This season is almost better known for its villains than its heroes. Mm-hmm. Even its heroes are a little villainous. If you love a good reality TV show villain, Kaguyan is hands down the season for you.
Yes.
That's what you should watch. It is the season of the villain. But somehow, even though everyone's kind of a villain, they all feel super likable again. It's such a weird dynamic of a season. It's a little hard to explain, but it is amazing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the points you made. And Kaguyan, I would say, out of all of the seasons we're talking about today, it might have the biggest twist that might be tougher for some people to understand. But even then, the one twist that I'm referring to gets thoroughly explained on TV. And you're able mm-hmm. to understand it really easily. And it's very easy to acquire knowledge of what's going on with the one twist that ends up happening through the season. And Kaguyan, I do want to mention one name that might be known outside of the season, in Cliff Robinson, because he is on the season. He's a former NBA All-Star. So if you're a big basketball fan, that might be a good season for you to watch, just because you're automatically going to be attached to Cliff Robinson. And it's just sometimes that outside attachment and seeing someone else that you are familiar with from a different show might end up helping you in the time that you're watching the show. And then the other thing with Kaguyan is just, it's so explosive throughout it. So it might not be the best season if you want to ease into Survivor, but if you want to watch a season that's absolutely elite, everyone in the Survivor community regards this as an amazing season. I really don't see anyone say, I didn't like that season, or I didn't really think it was that good. This is the season for you. But then also, this season has a lot of people that have returned on later seasons. So if you want to watch this season, then watch an All-Star season that happens after it, then you're probably going to see a player from Survivor Kaguyan, which is very important, because then you're going to have a familiar face in that All-Star season, and you're going to see how they stack up to some of the best competition in Survivor history.
Yeah, and I had a point, but oh, I remember. So I think that if you're fairly new to reality TV, Kaguyan is not your season. It's going to be a little too complex and a little bit too fast-paced for you to really kind of comprehend what's going on. But if you're, say, a reality TV show junkie who just hasn't watched Survivor for some reason, maybe you're a big Big Brother fan and you're looking to watch Survivor, or you've started to get into reality TV from some of the Netflix shows, especially The Circle, or any of these other types of reality competition shows, Kaguyan might be a better season for you to watch, because it really feels at home for someone who likes or loves reality TV. But mm-hmm. if it's a new genre to you, it's not the most approachable season.
I agree with that for sure. So yeah, it's not necessarily the most approachable season, but if you want something crazy, I'd say out of all the ones on this list, Kalyan's the best crazy season for a beginner. So you gotta be able to be well versed, and some people might know about Survivor a little bit and have some things explained to them. I don't know; that's not very common. But I actually do know a couple of people who say, "Oh, I don't watch Survivor." Then I say, "Oh, what does the hidden immunity idol do?" And they know what that does. Mm-hmm. Then they're gonna be better versed to watch a season like Kageyan because it's just so fun, so explosive, very entertaining. But let's move on to the next season. We're on the second to last one, and this is the last one that would be on Hulu. And this one, I actually would say, is my personal pick for the best beginner season for Survivor. And it's season 33, Survivor Millennials versus Generation X. And a big attracting point to this season is that I think you have a lot of characters that you can latch onto in a certain way throughout the season. And you have a lot of really good compelling storylines through this season as well. If you're a young kid, you have someone to latch onto. If you're the nerd, you have someone to latch onto. If you're someone who's experienced hardship, you have someone to latch onto. If you're a surfer dude, you have someone to latch onto. If you're a female outcast, kind of a nerdy girl who's out of her element, you have someone to latch onto. It just goes all around. And I think that's what makes Millennials versus Gen X, but even then, just your class of age, whether you consider yourself younger or older in comparison to people that you interact with in daily life, you're going to be able to latch on to the theme of the season because it's, in a sense, it's young versus old. And that's very easy for people to adjust to. And Millennials versus Gen X, it doesn't really have crazy twists that go on. And you see a lot of different relationships and dynamics that can happen on a specific Survivor season. While at the same time, there will be some curveballs that come in. Those will be explained pretty well, except for maybe one. And that curveball might not be the best, but that's another thing that makes Millennials versus Gen X a really good season to get into. Those curveballs that end up coming in throughout the season happen late in the game, and you're adjusted to what Survivor's about. And you might end up seeing a different tactic or a different rule that you haven't really seen before in the single season, and it isn't really seen that often, but it's good to know for a later season because it can change how you might perceive other people making strategic decisions. I think Millennials vs. Gen X is a great choice for a beginner Survivor season, and especially out of the new school seasons, this is probably the one I would recommend to people. But at the same time, even though it is easy for beginners to get into, it's a very good season all around, and you're going to enjoy a lot of aspects of it. So I really can't say enough good about beginners getting into Millennials versus Gen X. There's fun editing moments. Everything happens well. Fun challenges. Can't go on.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for Millennials versus Gen X. I don't recall if you said it. It's season 33. Yes. And it is, the first season that they filmed in Fiji on the set of islands that they're currently using and seem to be using for the foreseeable future. So if you wanted to be familiar to the landscape of Survivor now, obviously it's a good choice for that. It's also, I believe, the first season we've talked about that has a classic marooning where they're having them all grab the supplies off the boat and jump off the boat and get into a, like, canoe together and paddle off to their camp. I think this is the first season we've talked about to have that classic marooning. And that's very classic Survivor imagery. So it's a good thing if you've maybe been looking to get into Survivor for a while, or you watch back in Borneo and you're looking to get back into it, or any of those other things where you're a little bit more familiar with Survivor imagery. This does make you get a lot of that classic Survivor imagery and all of those things that you kind of associate with classic Survivor, but in a new school season. I think the other thing about Millennials versus Gen X that I love so much is it's another one of those seasons where even when people are fighting, you can tell this cast all loves each other. They're all there for each other. They all want to see each other do the best they can, even if they're like obviously they're going to vote each other out, but there's no hard feelings. They understand it's just a game. You really do have a lot of super fans here. And because it's all super fans, even though there's not a ton of twists, they are really pushing the game forward. And that's why I think, especially if you're looking to get a good feel for what modern Survivor feels like, Millennials versus Gen X is a good season, especially if you haven't really watched any Survivor before, because it doesn't have a whole ton of complex new twists like the next season we're going to talk about. Like if you didn't know what an idol was, the next season, the twists that are introduced in it might be a little complicated for just learning about what an immunity idol is and then being suddenly introduced to this new twist. You're not really going to have that with this season. All the twists, even if you're not familiar with past game mechanics, you're really going to be able to understand them fairly easily. And you're just going to be able to watch a lot of fun, interesting people who are pretty normal once again, who really love this game, getting to experience it and getting to play it. And you see the love that they have for the game and for each other as they're playing, which endears you to the cast so much more.
Mm-hmm. And you do get some really heartwarming moments that anyone outside of the game would be able to understand. And just, it's something that is a feel-good thing whenever you're watching it. And it's even sometimes not just people that are millennials connecting with each other. It's millennials and Gen Xers of different ages and different backgrounds connecting with each other but finding that common ground, and it makes you feel good as you're watching the season. And then in terms of characters on Millennials versus Gen X, you're gonna find a lot of fun characters in terms of how people perceive them in Survivor, and that's what makes the season so great. It's so easy to adjust to for anyone who's trying to get into newer Survivor and doesn't really want to watch older seasons and just kind of wants to progress with what's been there already. So, Millennials versus Gen X is just so great on that behalf. And you get fun moments in the pre-merge, in the post-merge. You get a lot of really good stuff out of this season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a very approachable season for all types of new viewers. I don't think anyone's going to be... It's not too fast for anyone, but it's also not too slow for anyone. It's really the, like, just right Survivor season for most people. Most people are going to be able to get into Millennials Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a good recommendation to get. If you're going to take one season from this list and recommend it to all of your friends, this is probably the season that's going to work the best. Otherwise, we've given you a lot of other seasons to tailor a little bit more to what people are actually looking for, but this is the one that's probably going to be the most universal.
Yes, season 33, just so you guys remember. I really don't have anything else to say about Millennials versus Gen X. It just feels like it fits in so well. There's not a certain demographic of a person that I would necessarily recommend this to. I just think it's kind of that all-around encompassing thing to recommend to anyone. If you're not really saying, oh, I don't know exactly what this kind of person would like, or I don't know exactly what I would like, this is the one I'd go to. I don't think it's catered towards a specific kind of person.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into our final season here. And this is season 37, not on Hulu, not on Amazon, unless you want to purchase it. And it might be the hardest one to access out of all of these. But Survivor David vs. Goliath is a new school season that is very easy to recommend to anyone because it is such a good season. You've got characters that you're gonna love. They just pop off the screen and you really enjoy them. David vs. Goliath, I mean, it's kind of in the name, but you're gonna get some good underdog stories here. The Davids going against the Goliaths, it really is just kind of fun to track throughout the season. If you easily want to latch onto an underdog from the beginning, you've got a whole tribe of them to pick from. So it's really going to be a good time no matter what if you like a good underdog story. I think everyone likes a good underdog story, though. So that's going to be a good time no matter what. You've got some really fun moments that aren't really gameplay moments and are rather just fun moments that anyone could be able to experience. The only thing about David vs. Goliath is that it is a bit advantage heavy, and there's a lot of different advantages they're given out, but a lot of them kind of make sense, so it's not really the hardest thing to track, and that's kind of the joy in it, really. It's good throughout the entire season. You're going to like characters. The advantages don't feel too crazy. It's the second most chaotic season next to Kageyan on here, but it doesn't feel that hard to adjust to, so I would definitely recommend this to people who like a good underdog story and want to watch another elite season of Survivor.
Yeah, I think that this is another season, just like Amazon, that really carries its theme throughout the entire season. That's especially for modern Survivor, not very common. Usually the theme is just a casting excuse and then it's basically thrown away. This theme seems relevant throughout most of the season, if not all of it. It's something that's always in the back of your mind. Once again, the cast for this season is amazing. Mm-hmm. They are all really great people, really fun, really interesting. Another cast that you can tell really enjoy each other's company and like being around each other. This is not only for people who really like underdogs, but if you just wanted to get the best idea of what does Survivor look like right now, other than watching the most recent season, I think David versus Goliath is the best season for you to watch to get the best idea of exactly what Survivor looks like now. Because it's the most recent season on our list, and it doesn't feel too much different than this season 40. It's mostly similar in the like feel of the type of gameplay and the amount of advantages in the game. And obviously it's in the same location and all of these other things. It's going to give you a really good idea of just, this is what Survivor looks like now. It might be a good primer if season 41 does air when it's expected to, and you wanted to start watching Survivor then, but you wanted to watch a season to get a little bit of a feel for it, maybe go with David versus Goliath. It's the hardest of these seasons to find, but if you have CBS All Access, you can watch it, and it's a good primer season for the next seasons of Survivor to come.
Yes, and I have mentioned outside connections that people might be able to make. I actually forgot one for China. There's a former WWE wrestler that's on China. But the other thing is David vs. Goliath has a player named Mike White, and some of you might be familiar with him for a couple of different reasons, actually. If you've seen School of Rock, it's a very classic movie, of course. I find it hilarious. He's actually in the movie, and you would be able to at least recognize his face even if you didn't know his name. Or if you're an Amazing Race fan and you maybe saw that you might want to get into Survivor after watching something like the Reality Showdown that just aired on Amazing Race. While Mike White wasn't in the Reality Showdown, he was a very popular Amazing Race player. Actually, he's played twice in the Amazing Race and then went to Survivor. So that would be a way to kind of watch if you've seen Amazing Race, especially some of the seasons back in like 2008, roughly. You might recognize him from there. And then you're going to say, hey, I know who that guy is. And then you can latch on to him. And he's entertaining throughout the season, too. Again, this whole cast is really good in general. And I could suspect that if you want to watch a future All-Star season, a lot of people from this cast will be on that All-Star season, regardless of what that All-Star season is. But there is that outside connection, which I think is very important to note. And all in all, David vs. Goliath, it's fun. It's another season that also keeps a lot of the players on their toes, and it keeps the viewers on their toes because of that. You don't really know what to expect as you're watching the season, but you're going to have a good time no matter what. It keeps you entertained because such good characters, some fun editing moments, some really good comedic moments throughout it, good underdog stories. It's all laid out right there for you, and you're going to get a season that's very well regarded by the Survivor community.
Yeah. Most people see it as kind of the best modern season of Survivor. I also want to point out that another notable person on this cast is John Hennigan. I don't remember any of his wrestling names off the top of my head.
The mayor of Slamtown. That's how you would know him.
That's one of them. Perfect. He's got a lot of them, obviously. He's a wrestler, and a very notable wrestler. And you can tell when you look at the cast photo exactly which one he is just from that description. He's another fun character. He's probably one of the most fun wrestlers we've had on Survivor. And he's fantastic. Another good person. If you're a wrestling fan, this is a good season for you. I other than that, I think with David versus Goliath, you're just going to get fun characters who are doing interesting things. There's a lot of very complex gameplay that goes on.
That's easy to follow in a lot of instances.
It is easy. Yeah, it is easy to follow because you really, you see all of it happening. It's very in your face, but it's still very complex. It's never really been done before. A lot of new strategies emerge from this season. And it's, if you want to get a feel for Survivor now, watch David versus Goliath. Mm-hmm. If you're a wrestling fan, watch David versus Goliath. If you're a Mike White fan or a comedy fan, just generally, you've probably watched a movie. Yeah, and you've probably watched a movie that Mike White wrote. Watch David versus Goliath. And lastly, if you're a fan of underdogs, this season is built to be full of underdogs. So this is a great season for you. It's literally by design that you're going to have underdogs to root for.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you're a fan of the Emoji Movie, go ahead and watch this season because Mike White wrote it. No, I'm playing. Nobody likes that fucking movie. So that's the end of our list for best seasons for beginners. So we had season 6 Amazon, season 15 China, season 18 Tokenchines, 25 Philippines, season 28 Kagyan, season 33 Millennials versus Gen X, and season 37 David versus Goliath. And I'm not sure if you have any honorable mentions that you would want to bring up, Madison, and just very quickly go over and say, hey, this might be something. It was just slightly not a good pick for me for one or two reasons, but if you're fine with that, might be another one to look into because I've got a couple and I'll spout them out really quick while you might think of some. Pearl Islands would be one of them. However, there is kind of this twist where people are able to return to the game and that might throw some things out, and it has a really weird pirate theme kind of. So that's not the most fun thing for a lot of people, but if you're able to get over that and kind of enjoy some a little bit of corniness thrown in, that would be one. Another one would be Cook Islands. However, Cook Islands has another flaw where the tribes are divided by race, so that's not very good. It doesn't really flow with today, but if you can get over that and you like a lot of cast diversity that's very forced, then go for it. Cook Islands would be a good season for that. As for any other seasons, I think that Survivor Blood versus Water or San Juan del Sur would be good if you are fine with watching family members go out and compete together, even though they're going to be on different tribes. They're going to be there and they're going to be attached, and you see a lot more connections from outside the game that are very impactful to these people. Then that might be one to consider. And if I had to go with an all-star season that's just very iconic and everyone would love, Heroes versus Villains. I mean, it's just one of the best for a reason, and you're going to have a lot of fun watching it. It is some of the best players of all time. However, that might be a detractor because you might want to know them from previous seasons before you jump into it. You got any other ones, Madison?
Heroes versus Villains for me as well was honorable mention. I've had a couple people watch Heroes versus Villains and then immediately want to see more. Only problem with that one, it's a returning players season, so it might not be the best to start with because you're missing a lot of the context. And two, it is easily top five season, and most people would consider it either number one or number two. So you're also kind of starting at a high point, and you might get bored of other seasons because you're kind of starting with the best of the best. You might want to start a little bit more in the middle so you have room to grow, but also a little bit of room to fall. You don't want to watch the worst season first. You're not going to be into it. The only other one I would maybe say is Survivor Africa. If you really wanted that old school feel where it's a little bit more, it's very much focused on survival and on characters, I think Survivor Africa is the best move for that. But it's a little, it can drag a little bit because it's more focused on survival and characters as opposed to strategy.
Mm-hmm. So if you really didn't want to do any of the ones that we said, maybe check out one of those honorable mentions. But in general, I think the first seven that we mentioned, those core seven that we went in depth about, are the most influential ones in terms of how they can impact someone who is starting to watch Survivor. And it's the one that can hook them. They're not bad seasons, they're good seasons, actually, and they're going to get them into the game. They're going to get them into the entertainment the most easily. Anything else you have to say, Madison?
Nope, I think we covered it all.
All right. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on YouTube. We are Get Snuffed everywhere. Follow us on Twitter, which is GetSnuffed_, actually. And our next podcast that we're going to do, it'll be coming out this Thursday. It's going to be one that's more catered to people who have watched Survivor, but Madison and I are going to be going into the courtroom, and we are going to be debating if these players that we're going to debate are heroes or villains. And as for next week, we'll be continuing celebrating 20 years of Survivor. However, we have not picked what topic we're going to go for in terms of the history of Survivor. Anything else you have to say, Madison?
Neither of us did debate in high school, so if we break any of the debate rules in our next podcast, apologies in advance, but we're going to do our best to really follow those keen debate rules.
I'm not. And just remember one thing before you leave.
I'm sorry, I don't talk glamour. I'm supposed to talk glamour to you.
Okay. Have a good one, guys. Thank you guys for watching.